You thought it was invented just to complicate your hiring process, but the veteran's preference goes way back to George Washington himself. Still, it is complicated. Joining me to help sort it out, Jeff Neal, blogger and senior vice president of ICF International. And Jeff, I imagine when you were running the HR shop at Homeland Security, the veteran's preference could be vexing at times.
Tom, it certainly could. You know, we had a lot of hiring issues at DHS, one of which was hiring Border Patrol agents. You know, at one point, DHS hired more than 10,000 new Border Patrol agents. And a lot of people who we hired were veterans. Hiring veterans is something that the federal government has been committed to for a very long time. As you said, veteran preference goes all the way back to George Washington saying that how we treated, people are going to look at how we treated the veterans of our past wars. So it's something that we've been involved with for a very long time. What's happened in the last few years, though, is veteran preference has sort of kicked into high gear. And it's happened for a couple of reasons, not the least of which is that we've produced a very large number of veterans with the two wars that we've been involved in. But what's also happened is agencies have changed how they rate applications, and they move from something called the rule of three that a lot of people have heard about to something called category rating. And when they move to category rating, it kind of increased the effect of veteran preference. So what's happened is the number of veterans getting hired is going up and up and up to the point where last year OPM reports that about 47% of new hires into permanent positions in the federal government were veterans. Now, some people would look at that and say, well, what's wrong with that? And we certainly want to take care of our veterans, and I agree with that. But what's happening is it's getting to the point where non-veterans are coming to the conclusion that they shouldn't apply for federal jobs because they don't have a chance. And that is getting to be a big issue. Surprisingly, the place that's raised the issue the most and most vocally is the Department of Defense, the department that produces the veterans. They've actually worked with some folks on the Hill to get some language into the defense authorization bill for next year. They've actually rolled it back a bit by allowing veteran preference to be used only once. So if you're a veteran, you use your preference to get a job, then you can't use it to get another job.
You mentioned a change in policy on hiring. Just tell us briefly how that changed and whether federal hiring managers tend to maybe misinterpret it or overinterpret it.
Well, what happened was we used to have something called the rule of three, where you would rate applications, assign scores to them, assign the points for veteran preference, and then hiring managers could select from the top three applicants. And hiring managers complained about that for years. They said it was too restrictive. So the solution was something called category rating. So what happens with that is you put applicants into broad categories, for example, qualified, well-qualified, and best qualified. And then within those categories, you list all the veterans first, and then you list the non-veterans. And theoretically, hiring managers are supposed to be able to hire anybody within the category. The way it actually works out, though, is, let's say, for example, there were 10 people who were considered to be best qualified, and 5 were veterans and 5 were not. You would list the 5 veterans first, and then they could select from those 5 veterans. They couldn't pass over the veterans to hire the non-veterans in the same category.
So hiring managers must feel that some flexibility or a lot of flexibility has been taken away from them.
I think that what they felt is they didn't have flexibility before because the rule of three. They got something that was supposed to give them more flexibility, and it really didn't. It gave them a larger list of veterans to select from. But it still didn't let them look at a large list of applicants and say, well, let me pick the very best qualified person from this list. They didn't get quite what they wanted.
We're speaking with Jeff Neal, Senior Vice President of ICF International and former Chief Human Capital Officer at Homeland Security. And so what should managers do to make sure that they can get the people they really want, respect the veterans' preference, but not follow it in kind of a slavish way that might not get them the best candidates?
The most important thing an agency can do is tighten up how it runs category rating. and define the top category, the highly qualified category, as a very small range of applicants. So if you're looking at a 100-point scale, for example, your top category should be people with a score of, say, 95 or better. And that way you don't, if you get somebody that's just a list of, you know, say you just get a list of veterans, of 5 or 10 veterans, if they've got a score of 95, those should all be very well-qualified people. And then the fact that you're getting somebody who's got veteran preference shouldn't concern a hiring manager at all if they're very well-qualified. There is a complication in there, though. And the complication is what happens with veterans who have a compensable service-connected disability. Because what happens is, regardless of their score, they go to the top of the top category. So let's say I have a 70-point score and I have a 10% service-connected disability. I go to the top of the list. So if you're at the top of the list with 100 points and you're not a veteran, and I'm at the bottom of the list with 70 and I am a compensably disabled veteran, I go to the top of the list ahead of the 100-point folks. And that may not sound like it's much of an issue. I mean, how many disabled veterans are there? Well, the answer is there are a lot. In Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom, the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, about 1 out of 3 veterans who are coming out of those conflicts has a service-connected disability. So there are a lot of those folks. There are so many of those folks, as a matter of fact, that right now, if you look at the effect of veteran preference, right now, among service-connected disabled veterans who are working, 1 in 4 of them work for the federal government. So, and we don't know what actually causes that. You know, is that number so high because that veteran preference tool and the going to the front of the line provision of it that they have, that it has so much effect because it's so much easier for a disabled veteran to get a job in the government? Or is the problem that disabled veterans have trouble finding work in the private sector because of discrimination based on their disabilities? We don't know what the answer to that question is.
Is there a way out of this? Will this take Congress to maybe change something? I think in your latest column, you're saying it's really in many ways something that's untouchable.
In many respects, it's like the third rail of civil service reform. Veteran preference has been in place for so long. It's a public policy decision that we've made as a nation. And the veterans lobbies are very, very powerful. The veterans service organizations is how they're referred to. They are very politically powerful organizations. And so they tend to oppose changes to veteran preference. And this one, the one that's come out so much stronger than anybody else, is the American Legion. And they've taken a very strong position against this Defense Authorization Act change. So they're not happy about it. But the people that are backing this, Senator McCain, for example, is backing this change. And no one could argue that Senator McCain is not supportive of veterans. I mean, the man is a former prisoner of war himself. So he's had a very strong record of backing veterans, but he's also got a very strong record of backing the Department of Defense. And right now, the Department of Defense is saying that to meet their talent requirements for the future, they need some changes to how veteran preference is administered. And so I think right now, this bill does have a chance of passing. And I haven't heard anything from the Obama administration saying they would veto it because of this provision. There are some other provisions in there they've said they'd veto over, but they haven't said they would veto because of this one. So it actually has a chance of passing.
Jeff Neal is Senior Vice President of ICF International, former Chief Human Capital Officer at Homeland Security. And I want to point out your latest blog, which we will get posted at Federal News Radio, is a comprehensive look at veterans' preference and well worth reading. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.